Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Walker. Our topic today is the $8 million bond issue on the November ballot to expand and modernize the Astoria Public Library. Our guests are Interim Library Director Suzanne Harold and Library Board Member Sue Stein. We begin with Suzanne looking back at the library's history.
The library opened originally in 1892 and moved around to quite a few different sites over the years. And then in 1967, it opened in its current location on 10th Street between Duane and Exchange. This building was designed by Ebba Wicks Brown. She grew up here in Astoria and I believe was the first licensed woman architect in Oregon. There's a number of buildings around here that she's designed, including the Maritime Museum, the Illihi Apartments, and the U.S. Bank next to us. So we're excited that this renovation bond will allow us to keep and honor that part of Astoria's history and heritage. It's been basically untouched since it opened in 1967. In 1983, a mezzanine level was added in the main nonfiction adult reading room to add more shelves. The mezzanine level was meant to be temporary, is what I've heard. It was not intended to be a permanent structure. So it's outlived its time, and it's not structurally, there's no way to fix it or make it seismically sound or accessible to anyone in a wheelchair or a disability.
And as the library sits right now, it's quite a challenge for people who have disabilities. You can't use the whole library.
No, about half is the calculation that we came up with. About half of it is not accessible. So all of the adult fiction, all of the graphic novels for both teens and kids, and all of the teen collection is not accessible to anyone with a disability. And the downstairs informational books are really too narrow for a stroller or a wheelchair to get through. Also, the children's fiction, I was thinking technically it's wide enough to get a wheelchair in, but you would have to be really good at backing straight out. There's no room to turn around.
So since 1967, obviously, a lot of other things have changed. If you think back, we didn't have cell phones at that point. I mean, things have changed dynamically in the world, and yet we're still living with sort of the same library as it was envisioned then. Well, first of all, let's talk about what people will be voting on. This is going to be Measure 4-220.
Yes.
And it's going to be on the November ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs how much to pass? It needs 50% of the vote?
50% plus one.
50% plus one. And I should mention, I guess I should do a little disclaimer, too. I sit on the city council, and the council did vote unanimously to support the bond measure and to put it on the ballot. And we did so after we had a community survey taken to assess whether it was likely the bond would be supported. And that survey, at least, said, yes, most people seem to be in support of this work on the library. If and when the bond passes, what will happen is there will be lots of interaction with the community, and whatever the plans are going to be revised as we go along to meet what the community wants that library to be.
Yes, so the current plans that have been proposed are based on the 2013 needs assessment that was done. So that's been almost 10 years now since the community was surveyed and asked all the questions of what the priorities were. And things have changed since 2013. We're post-pandemic. There's a lot more people who do Zoom interviews for jobs or meetings where they need to have a one-on-one space that's small and private. There's a huge demand for that at the library. So we might need to look fresh again at how we wanted to designate the spaces in the library. Paul Benoit, the interim city manager, likened it to, I think it was more as like working around the edges. He went back when he was in Piedmont, California. They passed a bond for a swimming pool. And when they got ready to build it, they went back out and checked in the community and made sure, okay, the water polo team actually needs it to be this deep and the high school swim team needs this many lanes to swim in. And so there was some adjustments around the edges. And that's what I envision that we'll be doing.
It strikes me this is one of the big things we can do as we look back. There are certain certain times in a story where something significant has changed things for the better. The Aquatic Center being one of those. Mm-hmm. The River Walk certainly being a big one, and so on. And this is a way we can have a library that's up to date, modern, and really what we want as citizens who live here. Sue, part of your job, now you are on the library board.
Correct.
And part of your job is to help, I guess you use the word sell, this thing.
I'm a big cheerleader, yeah. People who know me, I'm really not very happy or optimistic or anything like that. So it's not a very hard sell.
So tell me a little bit about what your role is going to be here and how you see that working.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for letting us be here. This is fantastic. Background is I'm a pharmacist as well as an academic and educator. So I love to talk about this and get people as much information as possible. And this is a great venue you're giving us an opportunity to do. So my role right now, as you said, I'm currently chair of the Astoria Public Library Advisory Board. And in that capacity, as part of supporting the library director, in this case, Suzanne, we are working with the city in trying to educate the public about this particular bond measure and then try and explain the why. Why do we need this? Why is this a good idea? And to your point, it's not just for us. It's really for generations to come. You brought some very good examples that are positively impacting our community for many, many, many years. And fortunately or unfortunately, there has been an opportunity to find an answer without too much of a lift. This is expensive, mm-hmm. but it's not a $50 million building. And we can take advantage of some really good things that we have here and show how much we support everybody in our community.
The building as it exists is in a good location.
Exactly.
It has parking.
Core. Right. Yep.
So those things are already good at just making the actual facility.
Correct.
Something that's for, 2023 and beyond rather than for 1967. So let me do this a little backwards first. Let's talk a little bit about what it's going to cost.
Sure.
The tax rate for this is?
Yeah, the bond is for $8 million. The mm-hmm. tax rate is 57 cents per $100,000 assessed value, which is different than what you could sell it on the market. The
right.
assessed value is always much lower. And the city has $2.1 million of cash on hand, and there's a $500,000 grant from the National Endowment for Humanities that will be that will qualify for if the bond passes. Mm-hmm. So altogether, it'll be about an $11 million project, and that will completely renovate the inside of the library. It'll expand down into the basement, add an elevator, make everything 100% accessible, and update wiring and technology, plumbing, the roof, carpets, expand the children's area. It'll give us a fresh new library while still respecting the history of Ebba Wicks Brown's architecture and staying basically with, Astoria is a frugal city. We love the things that we have and we love to take care of them. And this is a chance to honor that heritage and but move into the future and give our families and our residents what they deserve and need.
Well, I got the calculator out and did a little math on the tax rate that this will have. And as you say, assessed value is often quite a bit less than what the value would be that you would sell the house for. And our houses have been really going up sort of insanely recently. But I think for a lot of houses in Astoria, an assessed value of $200,000 would be quite a bit. I mean, a lot of them are coming in under that, I think, for assessed value. But if we just use that as a guidepost, homeowners will know what their assessed value is because it's on their tax form. But at $200,000 assessed value, what the cost would be is $114 a year.
Yes.
That's what it would add to your tax bill. And how long does this go on? It goes on for?
No more than 21 years.
Right. So by that time, the bonds will be retired and this will come off.
Yes.
Come off the taxation. Well, I guess I'd like to hear now what some of the aspirational things are for the renovation, for the remodeling. What is it we're going to see when we go into this new library? Obviously, it's going to change as people have their say on it. But we've had, we've had a consultant make some suggestions and so on. And one of the things I think that's appealing is it will be more open and lighter.
Yes.
With more outside light coming in.
Yes, the plan is to remove two of the large cement sections that are currently on the north-facing wall. So that wall that's facing the river, that will be replaced with floor-to-ceiling windows that are UV-protected, energy-efficient. They will help monitor how much light needs to happen inside the building so that we are using the electricity efficiently for the library. But mostly, it's going to just completely transform and open up that space and feel like you're connected with the outside and with the community rather than being in. It feels a bit of a fortress at the moment.
It
so
does.
we can let go of that fortress feel. There will also be banks of windows as you come in through the main door on 10th Street and a ramp so that it is accessible from the parking lot. As you walk in to your right is where we anticipate that the expanded children's area will be. It'll be doubled in space, and there will be early literacy stations or areas. We've learned since 1967 that 0 to 3 is a critically important part in every child's brain development and all of their development. So libraries have adjusted their services in the last 55 years, and now there's a lot of focus on supporting caregivers and babies and toddlers to thrive as much as they can so that when they enter school at age 5, they're ready to learn and their brains are strong and all those neurons. If the families come to my story time at 9:30 on Fridays for babies 0 to 2, and we talk a lot about early literacy skills and building those brains.
Well, I grew up in Chicago and remember with great affection going to the library. And I think a library contributes to a child's future success because so much of it is based on reading skill. As you go forward, reading skill opens the door to so many other things in your life and your ability to succeed. And making reading fun and
yes.
enjoyable to start with just gives a kid such a great head start.
It does, and reading has become more critically important in the last since World War II. We've become very literacy-based. It used to be that if reading wasn't easy for you, you could get a job in something else as a mechanic or in a way that was more in your hands or with your hands. There's a lot of dyslexia in my family, and it's become critically important that the dyslexic learners in my family conquer reading so that they can go on and be successful in a way that it was less important for my dad or for my grandfather. The flag room will move down into the basement and be expanded and more usable for a lot of different programs. The adult reading area will be 100% accessible. There'll be smaller tables so that people can sit more individually. There will be some group seating, but currently we have the old-fashioned large tables meant for spreading out all of your books and doing research from books. And now people are usually researching or writing or working from their laptop. So they need that. So yeah, some small rooms for study rooms, tutoring rooms, Zoom meetings, medium-sized rooms for community meetings, a lot of more. One of the things that came out of the 2013 needs assessment was that Astoria is lacking in community space that is accessible, where people can get together. So mm-hmm. that is one of the goals of the renovated library to address that. And then the downstairs, the basement, we will have access to, and that can become archive space for city archives and regional archives for the collection we call Astoriana, which is local history of Astoria, more meeting space. It will double the size of the library without increasing the footprint.
That's another thing your predecessor, Jimmy Pearson, was really excited about, and that is the library has a number of things in its collection that it hasn't been able to display.
Correct.
Because of lack of space. And this will, in a sense, sort of double the space that you have available to work with. And the Astoriana was mm-hmm. one of the things that certainly that Mr. Pearson was excited about. Well, libraries are so much more than books now, but most people, when they think of a library, the first thing we think about is books. You know, and part of my memory is checking out those books and bringing them home and the anticipation and so on that you were going to open a book and get into this new world in a way. So what's happening with books under this new renovation? What are we doing in terms of our book collection and how it's displayed and so on?
Libraries will always have books. That is our brand. That is, we have, one thing I love about libraries in the last 250 years, how long has America been around?
Long time.
Long time. So the American concept of the library has been around since about then. And libraries are incredibly good at adapting to change and meeting those changes and determining what a community needs at any given time and meeting those gaps and those needs. People will always want books to read, both for information and for relaxation. Children need books to read. We know they do better with print pages than with digital pages. They've done some studies on that, on their brains. So I have hundreds of books for kids who are learning to read, because learning to read is not easy for a lot of kids. You need so many books to get to that point in your life. Yeah, there will always be books. There will always be new ones that you can get to. There will always be people who can't afford to go to the bookstore or Costco and buy all the books they want to read. So that's what we're here for, to supply a child with enough books for them to really fall in love with reading would bankrupt most families. So we are a chance that you can come and check out 25 picture books every couple of weeks and bring them back.
It's worth mentioning, too, that because of the agreement between all of our area libraries, we have much more of a collection available than any single library would have. How does that work?
Yes. So we are now having an intergovernmental agreement between Seaside, Warrenton, and Astoria, and we share one online catalog. So if you go to our website and search the catalog for a book or other item, it will show if we own it, if Warrenton owns it, or if Seaside owns it. And you can say, oh, I want that book. Send it to me at Astoria. And you'll get an email when it arrives. Every week we send between 350 and 450 items back and forth between all three of the libraries. So it expands their access to a collection without each library having... It allows us to stretch our budget and much more effectively.
Well, this is a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because not everybody may know this. How much does it cost to use the library?
If you live within the city limits, it is free. It is paid for with the taxes that you pay in the city of Astoria. If you live outside city limits, you can buy a non-residency card. It's $70 a year. You can purchase it at 6 months, 3 months, or 1 month at a time if $70 is a strain on your budget. For children 0 to 19 in rural Clatsop County, the library card is free through a program called Libraries Rock or Libraries Reading Outreach in Clatsop County. They can get a free library card. They can return their books at their school in Napa and Jewell if they live out there, and they get access to all of the services.
And how do you get a library card?
You'll want to come to the library with some photo ID. If that photo ID has your current address on it, that's all you need. If you've just moved here and your ID doesn't reflect that yet, then we'll need something official. So a utility bill, a lease agreement, your purchase agreement, something that shows where you live.
But libraries now are a lot more than books. So we talked about books a little bit. What are some of the other improvements that are sort of in the dream for this new library?
Sure. So one of the improvements will be updated technology with modern wiring. Most jobs now require an online application, and not everyone has internet at home and a good computer or a printer. So the library has filled that role for the last 20 some years. We call it the digital divide between the haves and the have-nots. And the library is where you can bridge that gap. So you can come and use the library or the internet at the library for free if you have your own device. We have Wi-Fi that will get improved and sped up, I believe. Some other things that the library does is community space. So it is a chance for families or kids to get together. In addition to the baby story time, there is a book group for middle schoolers every Thursday afternoon. And there is a great high-energy group of book-loving middle schoolers that get together, and they've built connections over the past summer, and they decided to keep it going into the fall. Homeschool hybrids mm-hmm. have grown out of library preschools. And once we have more space and we're back to being fully staffed, we can hopefully look at doing more adult programs. This summer, we had a summer concert series for adults. So that was a chance for people to get together on 10th Street in the rain or the sun and enjoy live music.
Adults and kids.
Adults and kids and dogs.
And dogs.
It was a fantastic event. And sidewalk chalk.
The sidewalk chalk, yeah. I mean,
Sue is a mad artist with the sidewalk chalk.
I thought the kids were the best.
Well, Sue, if I think this is a really great idea, mm-hmm. that this bond issue be passed, is there things that people can do to get involved and to try to help?
Yes, we would love people to get involved. One of the most important ways for something like this in a community to become successful is to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Talk about it with your neighbors. We have informational handouts available at our library. You can go and pick one up. It has a dog on it. I didn't have anything to do with that, but I love that it has a dog on it. Did you hear what's coming? So there's a really nice, accessible piece of information there. There's also two different websites. There's a website for the Astoria Library Bond that is informational only. Then there's another website. I don't know if we can give, I don't have the websites memorized.
The informational one is astorialibrarybond.com, and it is linked to the library's website and the city of Astoria's website. I don't remember the PAC one offhand, but I do know you'll start to see lawn signs around town, and they all have QR codes on them. So if you shine your smartphone camera at the QR code, the website will pop up.
I believe it's called Yes for Our Astoria Library, but I'm not absolutely certain. Both of those have information for people. And again, the more we can inform people and they talk to others, like I swim laps at the pool, so I'm talking about it all the time when I'm there to share information. If people would like to get more involved, we are going to have some different events come up, but they can contact me directly. We're going to begin handing out materials to people's doors. We are also going to hand out lawn signs for people to put in their businesses, and they can volunteer to do some texting to share information with others. So again, our goal is to get as much information out as possible, get people excited and passionate about their community, like we clearly are about this project and what a revised and renovated library can do for our community tomorrow and far into the future.
Well, one way to get some of that information, I understand, is on Thursday, this coming Thursday, there's going to be an event at Reach Break.
Correct.
Brewing on 13th Street. And there will be some of the library concepts available to see there. And what else?
Yes. So I have some fresh renderings there. They'll be mounted and available to look at. And there will be lawn signs and other informational flyers. And then Josh Allison, the owner of Reach Break, will donate $1 of every pint sold between 5 and 8 p.m. to the Library Foundation.
So you can be a good citizen by drinking lots of pints? Is that the point?
Absolutely. The more you drink, the more you love books.
I think so. I better check with the police chief on that.
The police chief has been invited to the event.
So, well, that's great. Then there will be people there who are knowledgeable and can answer questions and see the drawings and so
exactly.
on. So that will help kind of build the picture of what this will be.
And coming off of your last question also, Roger, I encourage people to come to the library. They can ask, again, get information about it and walk through it and see if this is what you want your library to look like.
There's a lot of folks who are supporting this. Our current mayor, the last two mayors, Arlene Lemire and Willis Van Dusen, are both in support. And our mayor-to-be, Sean Fitzpatrick, who is running unopposed for the office, also is in support of the measure. Who are some of the others? The Chamber, I believe, is as well.
The Chamber has endorsed it. The Astoria Downtown Business District has endorsed it. The Teachers Union. And then I want to say well over 100 other people in the community. David Lum has given us his endorsement.
Well, it certainly got a positive endorsement in the newspaper.
Yes. And and I should add, if you want to go to the Bond website, the Yes for Our Astoria Library website, there is a full list of the people who have endorsed the library that we're adding to every week.
So this $8 million in the bond won't cover the whole cost, but the city already has some money in the sock that
Correct.
They are going to add to this. Do you recall where that comes from?
I know that some of it is the Logan Fund, which was bequeathed to the library in years past by a former mayor for an eventual library eventual new library. Mm-hmm. But it's been determined that this will be like new. Mm-hmm. And it will release those funds. There is some fundraising that was done in the past, and then there is, I said, the $500,000 from the National Endowment for Humanities.
And I think we also have some money from the carbon credits that we have earned from the city-owned watershed.
Excellent. Go watershed.
Go watershed, yeah. And I think that's a significant amount of money, actually. It's over $2 million that's available from the carbon credits. So all of that together is what gets us to the $10.6 million for the library. I probably haven't asked you some things that I should have about this, so is there other things that you would like us to know about this as we approach the election, which is not that far off right now?
I think I've already put a letter into the editor. I'm particularly passionate about libraries. I think they're an essential core to a healthy community. You've heard us give some examples here, and maybe the library isn't something or a place that you've been to for a while, or it's a place that you don't think of, especially we've chatted with a lot of people where, gosh, they went all the time when they had kids. And when they didn't have kids anymore, they didn't really need to go to their library. And I think where we are coming now as a society, it's becoming more and more important to have free spaces where we can get together, especially mm-hmm. in our weather. I mean, we kind mm-hmm. of live in a bit of a blustery, poo-berry weather kind of space. So it's nice to have a space that is welcoming and light and has reference resources, has computer access, and you can have things like, I went to ukulele class the other day. Like, we could have an ukulele get-together because we could have, you know, an area that's enclosed, and we could do things like that. And we really don't have that here right now in our city. I think also a few things that we've heard when we've been out in the community, there's been a question, could we add an elevator to the mezzanine? And that is structurally not possible. So I'd like to share that because we've been asked that a couple times. That's not an option. And another question that had come up is, and we've talked about it many times, but just to reiterate, this is not building a new building. This is using resources that we have incredibly efficiently. We are maximizing some good, solid construction that we had in the past to make something that will serve us for many, many years in the future. And then I think the only other, I'm sure there's so many more messages I'm missing, but the only other message that I'm hearing is, why would this be a question? because there's so much about a library that studies show again and again and again. They increase and improve student performance. They increase the economic health of a community. They increase and help the information, whatever information you want to share, get around to your community members. There's so much good to come from a library. But I'm kind of biased and I really love them.
Suzanne Harold and Sue Stein, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate this.
We really appreciate it.
And this has been The Human Beat. I'm Roger Ruggum. Thanks for listening.